Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
And that is that. The Chicago Blackhawks regular season comes to an end with a valiant effort in the third period, only to see the LA Kings earn the point, force overtime, seal their playoff fate against the LA Kings, and then win it in overtime on an Adrian Kempe ending goal. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 1 a.m. Central Time here on 720 WGN. Let's head on over to the Crypto.com arena, bring in our buddy and our pal Troy Murray on the call with John Weideman tonight. One final time. Man, Troy, I really did think we were going to have a fun victory to talk about in the last game of the year. Great effort by this team towards the end. Like you said, Philip Kurashev just trying to do the right thing, chip it on down, just caught an awkward bounce, and then every other bounce after that went the Kings' way.
Give them credit that they battled hard. 3 goals in 5 minutes, and everything was in doubt for the LA Kings in this game. It looked like it was just rolling along pretty smoothly. They were in control of the game. Blackhawks didn't have many chances. The Kings had a ton of them. They were taking a 3-1 lead into the third period. Pretty comfortable, I would say, inside the room. Maybe a little bit too comfortable there, but I give the Blackhawks a ton of credit. And, you know, who knows what was said there, but you know what, your last period. So, hey, let's just get out there. Let's give it everything we got. Let's relax. Let's not worry about anything. Let's just give it our best effort, see what happens. Well, they scored those 3 goals, and, boy, they put a lot of pressure on the LA Kings to finally find a way to tie it up with the power play goal when Kurashev got the delay of game penalty. I feel sorry for him. He's going to feel sick to his stomach for that play that cost the Blackhawks the win in this one, probably. But at the same time, you just got to love the effort. This team worked hard all season long. A lot of times you just didn't have the skill, the talent that other teams had. They know it, but didn't mean they weren't going to compete hard. And boy, I give them a lot of credit. And John talked about the coaching staff. They did an excellent job all season long, keeping the positive attitude in tough situations. So, you know what? I got no problem with what happened in this game. Kings are a better team, but the Hawks competed hard. And Soderblom, actually, boy, he played a pretty good game in this one.
It was a fun end towards this game, Troy, just like it was a fun end towards the regular season with guys like Landon Slaggart, Ethan Del Mastro, and Frank Nazar all coming up and playing some significant moments and some significant games. Just another good glimpse into the future. It was a nice little tease at the end of this season into the next.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think that, you know, Kyle Davidson's got some tough decisions to make in who he wants to bring back from this group of guys. They've identified a few guys, Dickinson, Foligno, Mrazek. The rest of the guys are kind of up in the air, and they've got some restricted free agents as well. Talked about the unrestricted free agents like Tyler Johnson, Blackwell, Megna, Tenorti, Zaitsev. And with the young guys that the Blackhawks have in their organization on the blue line, Del Mastro gets the opportunity. Crevier had chances to play this year. Isaac Phillips, you know, it's going to be a crowded blue line, and you have to give these guys some room to come up and play it. But, you know, you want to have some senior mentors on there, and you've got that in Seth Jones and Connor Murphy. You know, those two guys are going to kind of play your 1-2 on the right hand side, and so I think they, you know, you've got to make some tough decisions. The restricted free agents this year, Lucas Reichel, Joey Anderson, I think he's worked hard. And you know, if you're looking for a guy that's going to fill a role and come in here and just be a low maintenance type of player, Joey Anderson is the guy. Entwistle, Reese Johnson, Radish, who had a tough year, and he was a healthy scratch in this one. You know, boy, 20 goals last year, 5 this year. Going to be interesting to see what they decide with him. And then big Alex Vlasic is going to get a good contract one way or the other, whether it's a contract with term or some kind of a bridge deal. But it's going to be an interesting offseason. But a lot of good things, as you mentioned. You get an opportunity to see Slaggart, and I think that he's a guy that can really turn into an effective NHL player. Nazar playing in only a couple games, but he showed a lot of flashes in the speed that he has. You know, Lucas Reichel, only 21. He had a highlight reel goal in this game, so there's a lot of good things to be excited about. The development of Kurashev, Connor Bedard, with the season that he's had, only 18 years of age, which is incredible. So a lot of good things to be excited about moving forward.
I'm going to steal a question that they asked on the TV pregame show and ask you, who surprised you the most from the Hawks roster this year?
You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, well,
was it me?
My mind's working. Just give me a minute. I would say Alex Vlasic.
Okay, I would too.
Who was the TV side of it? Who did they say?
You know, I only heard John Scott's answer, but he said Philip Kurashev, which I thought that was a fair one. But my mind went initially to Alex Vlasic.
Yeah, I like Kurashev the way that he developed this year. This was his breakout year, and I think that when you look at overall, when Luke Richardson was trying to figure out his lineup, the pairing with Bedard and Kurashev was kind of a given for a lot of the season. They, you know, Kurashev has that skill level that could complement the way that Bedard plays. I think that they really enjoyed playing with one another, so I can't argue with Kurashev. But I just think that Alex Vlasic, here's a guy, 22 years of age, been invited to play for the U.S. team in the World Championships. That tells you how much people around the league think of Alex Vlasic in his first full season in the NHL. Last year, developed his game in Rockford. I know that he's going to have another good season of training. He's going to come back. And when you've got a guy as fast as he is, as big as he is, at 6'6", 220 pounds, he led the team in block shots. That was kind of probably because Connor Murphy missed a significant amount of time, but still the willingness for him to do what he needed to do defensively, the wheels that he had, and the confidence that he displayed throughout this season, it ended up being a real good pairing between him and Seth Jones. But I would go with Alex Vlasic.
Yeah, I would too. Pretty much everything you just said, and just the responsibilities that he continued to earn and gain throughout the season was just very impressive.
Yeah, and only being a minus five, I don't know, take a quick peek and see what he was in this game. He's plus one, so he's minus four on the season.
Wow.
Playing up against the other team's top line pretty much all season long. And that's really impressive. Really impressive when you look at the goals for and against differential. The Blackhawks, you look at some of the guys who would certainly be wearing the green jacket. Bedard, unfortunately, was minus three in this game, and he was minus 44 on the season. And here's the guy that led the team offensively. So he's got to shore up his game defensively. But when you look at the matchups, and sometimes you didn't get the matchups on the road, but you have to have a shutdown type of pairing. And I thought as the season wore on that there was really noticeable that the top pairing was easily Vlasic and Jones in all situations. So it just really good to see the development of Vlasic this year.
All right, I lied. Here's my last one. Any summer plans, Troy Murray?
No, not yet.
Just put your feet up.
Not yet. I'm just saying, it's been a long year, all 82 games, and I just need to relax a little bit, figure out what the schedule is going to be. I've got some, you know, medical things that have to be put into consideration here this summer, but we'll figure it out. I haven't got to that point as of yet, and I'm looking forward to a nice off season and get myself rested up and ready to go for next year.
Absolutely. Well, you've earned it. Rest up, strengthen up, and I can't wait to talk to you in September, pal.
You're not going to talk to me until then?
I guess that's true.
I thought we were pals. Yeah, I'll talk to you in September, Joe. It's been great.
You're absolutely right.
That hurt.
You gonna answer my calls this summer?
Probably not, but it'd be nice if you tried.
Yeah. No, that's.
I don't answer calls.
No, I know.
Return texts or respond to emails.
I get the pre-recorded.
But I do like getting them.
I get the pre-recorded response. Sorry, Troy Murray will not be answering any text messages or phone calls until September. Again? How does this always happen?
Yeah. Anyways, I do want to say this, Joe. You've done a fantastic job all season long, and I know John echoes my thoughts as well. You guys back at WGN, as he thanked everybody, you guys all do a great job to make ours a lot easier. So appreciate everybody back there, Joe, especially you, because you're the guy, and, boy, you work hard, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, like I said earlier, and I'll always say, that feeling is mutual.
And talk to you in September.
Yes, yeah, I'll tell you all about it in September when we chat for the first time. But no, yeah, again, you guys make it so easy to do this job, and it's so fun day in and day out, no matter what the record is. And always a privilege, always an honor to work with you two, and always a pleasure and an honor to wrap things up with you like we're going to do right now. And I know you got a plane to catch, but... another wonderful year. Can't thank you enough, and I'll talk to you at some point before September, but I can't tell you when.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, pal. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call from the Crypto.com arena, and a job well done in game number 82 in all 82 games here this year on 720 WGN. We're taking you up to 1 o'clock tonight, our last Blackhawks post-game show. Goes all the way into Friday morning, so we welcome in you Night Owls, maybe some Beer League hockey players, or just people that are up late at night, maybe picking up the late shift. We're happy to have you, though. 312-981-7200. If you've got a call or a text, send us your thoughts, and it looks like already a handful of them. Let me get to the text line right now. From the 847 area code, as a WGN listener who knows too little about hockey but often has the game on at bedtime, I want to compliment the announcing team, wishing you all the best of luck for next season. Well, we really do appreciate that. From, I believe this is our guy, Peter Puck in Peoria. Hard-fought game. Too bad they didn't win. Sutterbloom very good in goal. The kids were excellent. Bedard, Nazar, and company were going good. Too bad that goal was disallowed. Looking forward to seeing the future. Yeah, that goal was kind of a turning moment. The Hawks were about to take a 2-1 lead. Instead, they took the goal away from Jason Dickinson, saying it was distinct kicking motion. And later on, L.A. would score two more goals after that, a 3-1 lead, which the Hawks did erase in the third period. Three unanswered goals of their own and weren't able to close out the victory. We won't dissect this game too much, but I do think that there's some similarities, and this game almost, I mean, in a way, seemed like a microcosm of the entire year. If you really, I mean, I might be stretching here, but the first goal by Lucas Reichel, which ironically, his best performance of this year came towards the end of it, and that goal, probably one of his best goals, if not the best goal on the year for Reichel, doing what he needed to do, just think on his feet, use his hockey instincts, be aggressive with the puck, chip it up forward in the neutral zone, and then take off, use his speed to blow past those two Kings players and pick up the first goal of the game. We found out earlier today that Reichel will be joining Rockford for the playoff run, something that at the beginning of the year you probably didn't want to hear that. You probably didn't want that to be the situation. But now here we are at the end of the regular season, and man, I think that can do some good for him. I think that can be maybe exactly what he needs, pick up a ton of confidence in the playoff run, and then carry that over into training camp next year. Going back to how this game could possibly be a microcosm of the entire year, let's face it, the second period, the Hawks were overmatched. They were kind of just outplayed by the LA Kings, and Arvid Sutterbloom had a tough go in net. The Hawks coughed up three unanswered goals. A lot of that kind of thing happened this year during the regular season. And then we see some fight in the third period, three straight unanswered goals. Again, I brought up with Troy how we saw Landon Slaggart, Frank Nazar, Ethan Del Mastro all come up, make their NHL debuts towards the end of the year, and look pretty good. So some promise, like, hey, maybe this thing is turning around. But with LA tying the game late, on a rough penalty by Philip Kurashev. I don't want to call it a young mistake, because I don't think that's what it was. As Troy mentioned, he was doing the right thing, trying to chip the puck down, kill off some time, and it just didn't take a great bounce off the glass. So the team faced some adversity. They couldn't pull out the win in regulation, and then couldn't pull out the win in overtime. So maybe that's also just one last reminder for this team that there is a way to go. There is a ways to go, I should say. But they do have some pieces in place. And for a handful of them, that first year is now under their belt. And now it's all about looking forward and moving forward for this team and this organization. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. For the 310 area code, kind of going the other way. Awful game, awful season, glad it's over. Sutter Bloom needs to go back to the minors where he belongs. This team cannot compete in the NHL with the current roster, hoping for a better season next year with an improved over being the perennial cellar dweller in the Central. It's Ed in Dallas. Obviously, a little different end of the spectrum on this. I mean, it is still year two of the rebuild. We knew it was going to be another frustrating year. Awful season, wins, losses. Yeah, sure, of course. But it's not an awful season for Connor Bedard. It's not an awful season for Peter Mrazek or Jason Dickinson, which you could argue all three of those guys had career years this year. I know it's the first year for Bedard, but still. Nick Foligno didn't have an awful year. Filip Kurashev didn't have an awful year. He had his career year so far in the NHL. But I get it. You're a fan. You want to see wins. Just keep in mind, that's why this season looked this way. Because that's what the front office and the organization are trying to give you. More wins, sustained wins, and sustained success. He's been perfect in terms of attendance on the post-game show all year long. Why would the last game of the year be any different? It's Devin in Palos Hills. Wants to, looks like, ask about the unsung hero of the team. Go ahead, Devin. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call for the final time. It's been a fun season, a tough one, but fun. Thanks for answering my questions whenever I chime in. I'm just wondering, who is your unsung hero on the season? There's a lot of guys who had some productive years in their own right, whether it was leadership roles, putting up points. There were a lot of names that were thrown around, but I want to know who's the guy that you think didn't get recognized enough.
Well, let me ask yours first, Devin. Who would you say the unsung hero is?
You know what? I think, I called about him for the first time this year, Joey Anderson. He was great statistically, scored a goal in the final game. You know, it just seems fitting.
Okay, I like that thought. Hey, Devin, thank you very much for calling. Thank you very much for the attendance all year long. Have a good summer, man. I will probably talk to you in September, okay?
I'll talk to you in September, Joe. Enjoy your summer.
All right, thank you very much. That's Devin in Palos Hills. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or you could text. I'm glad I asked Devin who his unsung hero was, because I'm going to go with the cheap answer. I'm going to go with Alex Vlasic, but I do still think it's deserving, and I also do think he probably was the most surprising guy this year. But Joey Anderson is a great choice, because that guy earned so much more playing time this year than I think a lot of people had expected. He served so many more roles and responsibilities this year than anyone did. He was just one of the most consistent players on the team this year. And again, Devin's question wasn't the most surprising or underrated or undervalued. It was unsung hero. But that's why I'll go with Alex Vlasic, because Peter Mrazek is clearly the MVP of the team this year. If he was not here, these games, these scores would be a lot more egregious, a lot more lopsided. Connor Bedard was Connor Bedard. We knew he was going to perform like the rookie of the year. I'll be very, very surprised if he doesn't get it. But Alex Vlasic earned so many responsibilities and more playing time and time on the penalty kill and even some time on the power play for a little bit in his second year in the NHL, which I really don't think he played that many games last year. It almost could have been his rookie year, technically, this season as well. But I think this year does a couple of things. It really introduces fans to him in what he can do and how much he can improve. And that's right. Vlasic actually played more games 2 years ago. He played 15 games 2 years ago and then 6 games last year before playing 76 games this season. But it'll be interesting to see if the front office can lock him up with the deal that can be beneficial for both sides. But man, that looks like a defenseman that can be here for quite some time, and a very impressive one at that. Couple more texts, and then I got to get to a break. 312-981-7200. From the Wells family, never quit. Kids played their asses all year off, and they'll be better next year thanks to Joe, John, and Troy on Blackhawks Radio. Go Blackhawks. Thank you, Wells family. You're also very active here on the post-game show. Thanks to John and Troy for making every game fun, even when the Hawks lost. P.S. I hope Joey Anderson gets a new contract. He never stopped competing, even when the team was losing. I agree with that. From the 630 area code, it's Steve from California. Happened to make this game at the closeout of the season, and the effort was there all three periods. Bitter loss, but couldn't be more excited for the offseason to see how this team comes back ready. September, as the rebuild continues, great season and effort all around, and proud to be a fan. I'm excited for this offseason, too. I'm excited to see, well, number one, the draft. But I am excited to see what types of things Kyle Davidson will do, what this roster will look like, and how active he's going to be with free agency. Because I feel like the free agents that will come here will only come if it makes sense for the long term. That doesn't mean expect a long-term contract for somebody. That means if there's a long-term contract signed with somebody, it makes a lot of sense both lengthwise, financially, where they fit in. But if there's a short-term free agent signing, maybe that will tell a little bit more how competitive this front office thinks this team can be next year. Looks like Luke Richardson is chatting with the media right now. We're hoping to hear from him in a little bit. And we're also getting some texts coming in as well. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from Luke Richardson and you later on in this postgame show as the Hawks wrap up the regular season with a loss in overtime to the LA Kings on 720 WGN.
Reichel breaking into the Kings zone. Down the slot. Shoots and scores! Lucas Reichel darted between the two Kings defenders. Got to a loose puck and walked it in on Talbot. Beat him with a backhand. It's the Hawks 1 and the Kings no score.
Keeping the energy up late tonight or late this morning here on Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're wrapping up the regular season. A 5-4 overtime loss to the LA Kings. That goal by Lucas Reichel tonight started the scoring. Was a great sign of Lucas Reichel hopefully getting ready for the Rockford playoffs. And we'll also give Reichel our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. Bill Moore texting in. Obvious question, I feel, but if the Blackhawks don't win first overall pick, do they intentionally avoid any free agents this summer to try and win the draft and get Bedard's cousin? Maybe a pointless question because seems few major free agents available this summer. Gavin McKenna is Connor Bedard's cousin, if anyone's wondering. He's 16 years old. And he's not draft eligible until the 2026 draft. I'm still bringing this up, though, because it would be 2 years until Gavin McKenna. But the other thing is, that's just not how this would work. It made sense to do it for Bedard because the Hawks were in a state at the time where they had to go one way or another. And because they had missed the playoffs for a handful of years and they weren't quite getting the production from the roster that they had, and yes, this is the year that Stan Bowman stepped away and Kyle Davidson was eventually hired as the permanent general manager, he embraced the word rebuild right then and there. I'd like to think that the decision to go to a rebuild wasn't necessarily swayed or needed to be swayed because Connor Bedard was available. But heading into the rebuild, kind of bottoming out that initial year did make a lot of sense because Connor Bedard was available if you win the draft lottery, which the Hawks did. But the other thing is, you got to remember, because Connor Bedard was available in that draft, the draft immediately gets kind of deeper. Even though Leo Carlson was taken before Adam Fantilli by the Anaheim Ducks, most people thought Adam Fantilli was going to be the number two overall pick unanimously. So that makes it a deeper draft because in other drafts it would have been Leo Carlson or Adam Fantilli, but it was also just an overall deep draft. From the 219 area code, what are the chances the Hawks will get Macklin Celebrini? That is who's expected to be the number one overall pick for this upcoming draft. The numbers are now locked in. They have been locked in for a couple of days now. But the Hawks will draft anywhere from 1 to 4 for this upcoming draft because they finished with the second worst record. So they're guaranteed a top four pick. Macklin Celebrini is looking to be the number one. Artem Levshinov is a highly touted two-way defenseman that's available from Michigan State. But we just have to wait and see with the draft lottery with what happens. From the 708 area code, unless the Hawks fall out of top two in the draft this year, they cannot pick three lottery picks in less than 5 years. Gavin McKenna will not be a Blackhawk, even if we are still awful when he was draft eligible. That's a good point, but I thought the terminology was winning the draft lottery overall, not so much top three, but I'll have to look into that. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. 708 area code, tired of losing, spend some money, Bedard overrated, minus 43 for the year is not rookie of the year. Well, we'll see by the end of the year if Connor Bedard wins the Calder Trophy or not. Because keep in mind, an 18-year-old who led all rookies in scoring and goals, by the way, I think it makes a lot of sense for him to win the Rookie of the Year, even if he is a minus 43. Because again, the team finished 23-53-6 this year. From the 630 area code, I start the winter with the Hawks. I begin my summer with the Hawks. Let us drink. Okay, take it easy. Have a good summer, 630. 312-981-7200. We're still waiting to get some sound from Luke Richardson. Three unanswered goals by the Hawks tonight from Tyler Johnson, Joey Anderson, and Ryan Donato. Tyler Johnson is possibly a guy that won't be on this team anymore. 4 years with the Hawks, being traded over from Tampa Bay, and has Stanley Cup experience. He's a very valuable piece. But it's a little difficult to see him fitting the Hawks' plans this year in terms of how much they've paid him in the past. I imagine he'll be looking at a contract somewhere around those numbers, which is around the $4 million range. We've had the conversation about Joey Anderson before because that's an interesting one. He makes a lot more sense to stick around here with the Hawks, 25, 26 years old, and just really found a good knack on this team. And embrace so many different roles, so many different responsibilities, and always seem to excel in them. 847 area code saying the rule is a team may not move up in the draft more than twice in a 5-year span. I did know that rule, but I thought it was you cannot get the number one overall pick more than twice in a 5-year span. I'm pretty sure that's the rule. Again, you can't move up more than twice in a 5-year span. I'm pretty sure that's the rule, but top three in less than 5 years, I don't think that's the case. Either way, I think we're really going down a rabbit hole that's not necessary, or at least not necessary for right now. The Hawks are going to be set just fine for the draft this year, even if they don't win the lottery. Because remember, they have two first-round picks this year and next year. They're very deep in the draft overall, and we've seen Kyle Davidson use his draft capital as an advantage to maybe move up to get somebody. Because that's the other thing you got to keep in mind. The Hawks have picked up so many pieces and so many players over the years through the draft because of trades and acquiring more picks. Maybe this year or next year is when he does start to go a little bit more towards quality than quantity. Let's go to Jim, who has some first-round predictions on the phone line. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. Jim, you're on WGN Radio. What you got?
Hey, always good to talk to you. I had asked you who thought who was going to win the scoring championship, and then David kind of got injured and played and didn't make it a three-man race at the end there. I think if he played the phone line games, he would have won the scoring championship, but each of those three guys had a hell of a season, and just happened that Kucherov wins it. But now I'm really wondering who, I'm trying to figure out who's going to win each of the teams will win the first round of the playoffs. So I'd like you to give me your prediction. I'm especially curious about Vancouver and Nashville because that's kind of two different styles, and I'm not sure who would pick for that round.
All right, Jim. Hey, yeah, thank you. I remember you calling in about that scoring race, and appreciate you chiming in all year long. Thanks a lot.
And can you give me your choices for the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of rounds, so I'll try to go down it. I'm going to let you go, though, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Jim. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. Again, with LA's point that they earned and Vegas has lost tonight, L.A. earned the third spot in the Pacific Division, so they're going up against the Edmonton Oilers once again. Vegas is going up against Dallas. Now, I've said before, I think I'd rather face Edmonton in the first round. And it's difficult with the matchups and everything, but every year is different. But the thing that scares me about Edmonton in like a second or third round is they're a streaky team and they've got a lot of offense. So if they're already rolling high after a win in the first round, them in momentum scares me a little bit more. But now I also kind of think the same thing about Dallas, because Dallas just seems like a team that is built for the playoffs because they're so deep. I saw Paul Bissonnette, though, obviously Biz, tweet out the fact that neither Dallas or Vegas will be able to make it to the final because they're going to have to go through each other in the first round. Which, I mean, it makes sense. The breakdown makes sense, but I don't know. Those are two very good teams, and a big part of that is how healthy Vegas is. But I do see where he's coming from, but it's hard to just declare that, I would say. And then Jim was asking about Vancouver and Nashville. I do like Vancouver. I like Nashville. I'm very impressed with what they were able to do during the regular season. But Vancouver's been a pretty consistent team all year long. I also like their depth. I like them defensively. And Nashville almost fell off a little bit a few times this year. So I do like Vancouver in that series in the opening round. Want to get to more, and we do have to get to Luke Richardson eventually as well, but we got to get to another break. Hawks fall to the LA Kings in overtime in the regular season finale. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Spun away by Deneau, kept in though by Megna, right point. He flips it over off the left corner boards and in behind the King net. Jordan Spence there, driving it around, not out. Entwistle from the right point, shoots, he scores! In front of the net, Ryan Donato on the tip. Sticks this one in behind Cam Talbot. And with 13:32 left on the clock for the third period, the Blackhawks lead the Kings 4-3.
We're still raving here on WGN Radio, concluding the Blackhawks regular season. I'm Joe Brand. Here's a fun fact for you. Ryan Donato scored the first and last goal for the Chicago Blackhawks during this regular season. He also assisted on Connor Bedard's first goal in his NHL career, Kevin Korchinski's, and Landon Slaggart's. Hawks fall to the LA Kings, though, in overtime, 5-4 to finish off the year. Nick Foligno chatted with the media. We're actually going to hear from him. Here's number 17.
I don't know. I just wanted something to hang your hat on. But I was proud of the way we battled back and got back in the game. And we got some work ahead of us in the soft season and into next year.
It's kind of a roller coaster. Maybe the first two periods weren't great, and then great stretch, and then at the end kind of let it go again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's a good team over there, too. And I think we just got away from our game a little bit, and they capitalized. And then, you know, we found our game again and took over the game. And obviously we'd like to have found a way to finish the game. And that's a disappointing part of it. But, it's just the way the season's kind of gone, and I know it encapsulates that, and that's what you're asking, but it's just I'm looking for the positives and things that we can build off of, and that's why I think it's so disappointing. It's just that, you know, you want to feel good about yourself going into the offseason, but then again, you know, we are a team that needs to make some changes here. You know, this isn't good enough. This can't be good enough. This has to change drastically over the summer, and we need to find a way to you know, as individuals here that have been here, come back and have a mindset of getting this thing turned around. And, and I'm sure the management will look at bringing in people as well. And, you know, that's out of our control. It's just making sure we're ready to go for next season. It's going to be a long offseason to think about.
There is going to be obviously change with the roster going into next year. Have you talked to guys that may or may not be that kind of on the edge there?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, everyone, you care a lot about these guys. You battle all year long with the group, and you care a lot about every individual. But the reality is when you don't win, changes are inevitable. And, you know, that's, we understand the business side of it, and, you know, we even talked about that. This might be the last time we play together, all of us, in forever, you know. So it's, you wanted to go out on the right note, and, you know, for the most part, we played the right way. But yeah, you'll miss guys. But in saying that, the business side of it, we have to change. I want to change. I mean, we can't go through this again, and I certainly won't. And, won't allow it. So either the mindset changes from the group or personnel changes, and that's just the way it is in the NHL. It's a business, and we need to treat it as such. As we're moving forward, we're trying to become a winning team, and sometimes those are hard things, because you're going to see good people leave, and that's why you want to try and get winning as fast as possible.
Nick Foligno has been a great spokesman all year long. By the way, Arvid Sutterbloom, 31 saves tonight. Our Save the Game sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. We wrap things up next. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. So many thanks to give out after this Blackhawks season. Our engineers, Krista Flores, Brett Jackson, and Dan Long. Our producers, Jack Heinrich, Colin McCarthy, Alan Poppy, Sammy Martino, Tony DeNardis, Patrick Hennessy, Brendan Rook, Eli Burke, and Ben Anderson. Our decision makers here at WGN Radio, with Mary Boyle, Dave Bennett, Ashley Byhan, and all the help we received along the way as well. Dave Marzulla, Julia Niles, Julie Stern, and Ernie Skatton, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we cannot wait for three more years bringing you Blackhawks hockey here on WGN Radio.